Amen. So today's sermon is the third in the series on 1 Thessalonians, themed Living Ready for the Lord. That's the theme. However, what we should know about living ready for the Lord is that it's never a bed of roses, because there's an active battle. And that active battle is over our faith. On the other hand, growth and character formation in our faith involve endurance, and we should be aware of it. We are now in 1 Thessalonians 3, a continuation from chapter 2, where Pastor Moffat ended last week, as he taught on recognizing and withstanding the attacks on the message, the messenger, and the hearers. That was what last year's message was all about, isn't it? But do we know the significance of attacking the message, the messenger, and the hearers? Why do you think Satan does that? What is the fight all about? That's what I want us to look at this morning. Today's message is entitled "The Connection Between Affliction, Temptation, and Faith." It is aimed at sharing some light on this, why the fight is there. You know that the Israelites, after leaving Egypt, they would have reached Canaan. Had they kept their faith by resisting temptation during afflictions and moving with the end in mind, they would have actually reached Canaan. By doing what? By keeping their faith and resisting the temptation during afflictions. But when they didn't have water, because that is an affliction, what happened? They complained. They ended up sinning and they couldn't reach. Now, temptation exists because there's a tempter, Satan, whose main occupation, he has only got one occupation, is to pursue believers so that their faith fails. At the same time, he's also very busy blinding the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel or the glory of Christ, according to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. Paul, in the first letter to the Thessalonians, focuses more on the believers facing the affliction of persecution. So we'll first start by defining affliction, which is used interchangeably with the word tribulation. Others use trial. So in biblical terms, affliction refers to anything that causes, you know, persistent physical pain, and pay attention. Affliction, it can cause either persistent physical pain, mental distress, or spiritual struggle. It encompasses a wide range of human suffering, including sickness, poverty, persecution, and personal calamity. So we are going to start by reading our scripture today so that we learn some things from the Thessalonians. So we are reading from chapter 2, verses 17, and we'll go all the way down up to 3, verse 10. And here's what the Bible says. Please have your Bible and be reading so that we read together as we even go. As the Bereans did, they always searched the scriptures. But we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, and endeavored more eagerly to see you, to see your face with great desire, therefore, we wanted to come to you. Even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. Verse 19, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. Verse 1 of chapter 3. Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. For in fact, we told you before, when we were with you, that we would suffer tribulation, just as it happened, and you know. For this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you, and our labor might be in vain. Verse 6, but now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you have always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, in all our affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith. You know, there is one word which keeps coming. Faith. Faith. Okay? For now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God for you? For all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before our God. Night and day, praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. So that is where the fight is. So let's now start and look at these verses together. Paul's concern for the Thessalonians was about their faith. And he desired earnestly to go and strengthen their faith. This was because he feared the believers would be tempted to have their faith fail, rendering Paul's work of preaching the gospel to them now and void. That's why he was concerned. His concern was not that because persecution was happening. He knew. He said, we are appointed. It's an appointment. A believer is appointed to be afflicted. So that was not what his concern was all about. It was about them losing their faith. And so he had to send Timothy. And so let's look at the first, we now go into chapter 3. In fact, before going there, let's look at a scripture that I would want us to look at. James 1:12. Here is what it says. Blessed is the man who endures what? Temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. There is the crown of life, which will be given to those who love God. But the only people that will get that crown of life, it's those that do what? Endure. Those that endure temptation. Now, sending Timothy and the purpose of his visit. So here is why Paul sent Timothy to Thessalonica. It was to go and do what matters most to a Christian facing affliction and the accompanying suffering. And we've seen that in verse 2, and we sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel, to establish you and encourage you in what? Concerning your faith. Concerning your faith. He did not go there to go and bind persecution, as we usually do. He didn't send him to go and do that. He sent Timothy to go and encourage the believers there, to establish them and encourage them concerning their faith. Now, established faith defies tribulations and hardships. That's what established faith does. You know that it sings in prison, as was the case with Paul and Silas in Acts 10. When they were beaten and bound and they were in chains, but at midnight, what did they do? Were they complaining? They prayed and sang to the Lord. That is what established faith does. It refuses to compromise divine principles, even when facing severe persecution or death. And such cases are repeated throughout the Bible. You know that the Hebrew boys, they were thrown in the furnace of fire. And they were ready to go in that fire. They even said, well, our God will rescue us. But even if he doesn't rescue us, we are still not going to bow. Established faith resists. It defies tribulations. Daniel was thrown into the den of lions. He didn't compromise. We've got all these examples so that we are strengthened, so that we are also able to stand, to have that established faith. The Bible is full of such testimonies. Commentaries often, compare establishing to setting fence posts in concrete. When they are making a fence, the posts are set in concrete so that they are immovable. Timothy's goal was to make the Thessalonian believers' faith immovable despite of the storm of persecution they were facing, because faith is the ultimate essence of Christianity, and it triumphs over affliction. That's what faith does. Established faith. I don't know the kind of faith that we have nowadays. I don't know. That is not the faith of the Bible. Because established faith is different. It's not about playing church. It's not. It's not about going, as long as I'm going to church. You know, I even go to the connection groups. It's about having established faith. That's what it's all about. Because that's where the battle is. That's where the battle is. And again, we can learn something. We know that Paul knew very well that affliction attracts who? The tempter. Affliction attracts the tempter, Satan. There is one lesson for us to learn from Paul's concern and Timothy's visit. We should love our fellow brothers and sisters enough to be concerned for them when they are facing what? Affliction. And encourage their faith. So when you go and you are encouraging somebody, you should love that person enough to encourage their faith. When facing affliction, you need a Timothy. And we should also be a Timothy to others, ensuring they are established and encouraged in their faith. Again, it says in their faith. It's in your personal faith that you should be encouraged. You should have faith that can be encouraged. But if faith is not there, what are they going to come and encourage? What will anyone encourage? Nothing, isn't it? This is because at that point, when somebody really is facing affliction, we are susceptible to being shaken. And that's why we experience a lot of pressure from within and without, being tempted to compromise our faith or even give up on it to escape the pain. I hope you know what I'm talking about. Every believer who is really establishing faith, they should know what I'm talking about. It's not us being, you know, lukewarm, whereby any simple thing, I give up. Me, I should not suffer. A believer. I should not suffer with this. And yet, that's what God wants to use to establish your faith and develop character. Therefore, no wonder sometimes we have got no character, because we've endured nothing. So because we endure nothing, we've got no character. Because the Bible is very clear. Suffering leads to what? Endurance. Endurance does what? Perseverance. Perseverance leads to what? Character. So if you are not ready to suffer anything, and yet you've been appointed to, you know, to being afflicted, that's unfortunate. You know, established faith can withstand any pressure and be able to say, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. As Job, verses 13 and Job 13, 15 says, and even those Hebrew boys, they said, even if he is going to save us, even if he doesn't, we are still not going to give in to what he wants us to do. What kind of people are we? Sometimes Satan doesn't even have to try hard. He doesn't have to. You know, because we've got wavering faith that easily gives in. I can tell you that faith is everything. When somebody is sick, you know that there's a lot of suffering. You know what they need? Established faith. Because at the point somebody just says, "Our dying is even better," then they are gone. And I can tell you, there are so many people that die not because of the disease, but because their faith fails. So once it fails, you are gone. But develop faith and have developed faith for yourself. Now let's look at verses 3 and 4. The connection between affliction to temptation. Paul explains why we should not be shaken. What does he say? He says that no one should be shaken by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. For in fact, we told you before, when we were with you, that we would suffer tribulation, just as it happened, and you know. For this reason, when I could no longer enjoy it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you, and our labor might be in vain, destined for trials. Paul reminds the believers that they are appointed or destined for afflictions. To be forewarned is to be forearmed. Paul emphasizes that he had already warned them about these trials. Commentaries note that truth telling is the hallmark of Paul's leadership. He did not sugarcoat the faith, ensuring that when trials came, the believers would not be caught off guard. I don't know where this gospel has come from, which is sugar-coated. Once you are a believer, all problems are sorted. Where is it coming from? Christ does not sugarcoat the faith either. In John 16, verse 33, Jesus said, in this world, you have what? Tribulations. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So sometimes we behave as though we don't live in the world. And it's like all that Jesus came to do was to ensure that you are just enjoying, you know, life. We think it's just coming to church. That's what Christianity is. There is a battle. It's a battle. It rages on. There is a battle over your faith. If you have faith, Satan wants to get it. If you don't have it, Satan wants to blind you so that you never have it. Except there is a disclaimer. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. That is 1 Peter 4, verses 15 to 16. That's a disclaimer. In case you start thinking, you can just go and do anything if you suffer. We are appointed to affliction. Let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. For any of these, you will suffer. But if you suffer, you are not suffering as a Christian. And you shouldn't, you've brought it on yourself in other ways, isn't it? Instead, let me give you some of the examples. Instead of lying, telling the truth in spite of the consequences is suffering. It is. Because you know there are consequences to this that I've done. When you tell the truth, that is the suffering that is required. But instead, what do we do? You'd rather lie. If losing a boyfriend or a girlfriend requires not you committing fornication with them, you suffer when you say no. If it means let it end, let it end. That's suffering. But what do we say? After everyone else is doing it. And when you suffer for those consequences, this verse comes in play. Let none of you suffer as a wrongdoer. Persecution comes in different forms and is promised. And it's promised in Timothy 3, verse 12. What does it say? Yes. And all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And all, you know that in English, all means all. All who desire to live godly life in Christ will suffer persecution in a different way. Child of God, if you are living a persecution-free life, it could be that you're not living a godly life according to this scripture. If you are living a persecution-free life, It could be you are going together with the tide instead of going against the tide. Because going against the tide is tough and you'll be persecuted for that. They can even call you names, like at school. And they can call you names. I remember at college, after we became believers, my friend and I, who is also a pastor, we got, you know, these names. So for my friend and I, we are called nuns. Not Christian nuns. Then those who somehow, you know, the boys who were our friends, they were called security guards. I won't go into detail. The question asked in Romans 8:35 is worthy considering by everyone who is living ready for the Lord. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or a sword? In the beginning of the church, our friends were being martyred. They were being killed. And they would go down. Yet, they still kept their faith. They still kept their faith. What kind of faith is this that we are practicing? Which one is this? Whereby the church is so compromised, very difficult to distinguish between a believer and an unbeliever. Because I don't want to suffer. So I should have it easy. In case he leaves me, let him go. Let him go. God, the other thing I think the problem where we have the problem is, we don't know the tempter. Because we perceive Satan incorrectly. So temptation and faith requires perceiving the tempter, Satan, correctly. God is who the Bible says he is. And we are who God, the Bible says we are. Similarly, Satan is who the Bible says he is. So what the Bible says about him, that's who he is. Believe it. You know, some years back, we sang a song that belittled the enemy. This song was written by someone who perceived Satan incorrectly and was used by Satan to ensure that we perceive him incorrectly too. You know what the song was? We are rolling on. We are rolling on. Ka Satana. So you also sang that song. You also sang that song. This song, it makes one perceive Satan as a small thing. So you just hold it. You throw it on the floor. You throw him, huh? It's him. And you step on him. What a lie. But the Satan described, you know, by the Bible describes him as a tempter of humanity. Being called a tempter indicates that tempting is not just something Satan does, but it's his constant occupation or defining characteristic. He is depicted as the father of lies. A deceiver who leads the world astray. And a roaring lion seeking to destroy believers. Ultimately, God limits his power And his destruction is guaranteed. That much we know. Meanwhile, before the coming of the Lord, Satan is super active to regain what he lost to Christ through the cross of Calvary. You know, by the cross of Calvary, Satan lost. So now he is busy because he knows you and I, through the cross, we are going to see Jesus. We are going to see him. We are going to go to God, our Father. So he doesn't want that. He doesn't want that. So he is working very hard that he does not go to hell alone. Hell was not made for man. It was made for Satan and his fallen angels. But he wants to carry you and I there. So he fights faith. And he does it. You see, what is happening is, while that is happening, what are the believers doing? Believers are taking it easy. I don't want to suffer. You know? We are busy playing church, but the devil is busy. We are playing games and sleeping on duty instead of being vigilant. But we are there sleeping, especially when affliction comes. It's like it's very easy. And I don't know if you've noticed, when you are unwell, everyone around you becomes a doctor. This one will come and tell you this. The other one will come and tell you this. You can just go to Kakande, wherever. You know, it's because the fight right there, it's for your faith. And bear in mind that Paul's concern about the Thessalonians is like the concern that Jesus had concerning his disciples. Because they were overwhelmed with sorrow, you know, in the Garden of Gethsemane. They were overwhelmed with sorrow. What did he tell them? He said, when he got back, he found them sleeping. What did he say? Pray that you do not do what? You do not fall into temptation. Do you know the temptation that he was talking about? It's this that we are talking about. That you do not lose your faith because of the pain. So you decide, I think it's better. I just stop being a Christian. So Jesus told Peter, due to the impending trial, you know, or testing, Jesus warned Simon. This is what he said in Luke 22. He said, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. But I've prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you've returned back, strengthen your brothers. His concern was about their faith. Sift as wheat is a metaphor, meaning Satan requested permission to shake and test the disciples violently. In shifting Peter and the other disciples as wheat, Satan's goal was to crush them and wreck their faith. In truth, the adversary wants to destroy the faith of every believer. But Jesus remains our intercessor. So because he had interceded, he had made the intercession, even though they scampered, you know that they did, they still came back. Peter himself denied Christ how many times? 3 times. And yet he came back. You know why he denied him? He was fearing pain. He
not if I agree, lest they also crucify me with him.
Satan is after our faith.
There is a battle over our faith. The battle is over nothing else. Even when you saw, no, the devil tempted me. When you do, he tempts you to do whatever he wants you to do, and you do it, his main goal, what is the battle is all about, is over faith.
So in biblical times, wheat or other grain was sifted through a sieve or a large strainer. As it was shaken violently, the dirt and other impurities that clung to the grain during the threshing process would separate from good, usable grain. Even nowadays, that's what we do there. In Bemba, we would say uksefa. You know? So you sieve. And Satan does that. Jesus did not prevent the test, but interceded, ensuring Peter's faith would not entirely fail, allowing him to return and strengthen others. But Peter was like you and I. Yeah? So when Jesus was saying, this is what the enemy has requested, he didn't even know what it was. You would deny me three times. He says, me, I won't. But thank God that the answer to Jesus' prayer for his disciples, Peter did not fail. He bounced back. It is game over should any child of God lose faith during an affliction. And that's why the tempter works so hard when we are afflicted and suffering. Be aware of Satan's temptation and shaking during afflictions. Because all he desires is that your faith fails to become his disciple, but overcome him through established faith. And that's what these Thessalonians did. No wonder we've got the other verses after that. Because here now in verse 6, it says, but now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love. So for them, instead of their faith failing, it was still growing, and their love was also growing. Therefore, in verse 7, it says, brethren, in all our affliction and distress, we were comforted. Paul also got comforted. And it says in verse 8, for now we stand, if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God for you, for all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before our God? Night and day, praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. Faith is the essence. Faith is what the battle is all about. It is faith. Now, in conclusion, in response to this message, let's do some self-examination and assessment. Are you living a life of compromise because you can't stand the persecution of living a godly life? What kind of life are you living? Is it because you don't know that we were called to afflictions? Or is it because you are an easy target for Satan? Or are you a hard target for Satan to shake? You are only a hard target if your faith is established. It's immovable in spite of what is going on. And we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You need the word. You need to grow, to develop and be established. Remember James 1:12. What does it say? Blessed is a man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. These afflictions and tribulations, they are momentarily, they are for a short while. Jesus is coming. And he's coming soon. Very soon. Before you know it. Because some people say, it has always been like that. He will come. Because God is not man that he would lie. Whatever he promises, it happens. Whether you believe it or not, he's coming. But his question was, when Jesus comes back, will he find faith on earth? Is he going to find it? Is he going to find you standing in faith? Standing in faith, whether you are alive or already gone. Is he going to find you standing in faith? Or he will find you wrecked by the enemy? Let's be upstanding and respond to this message. You know what your life is like. I don't know what you are going through. I don't know what affliction you are facing right now. My word to you is stand. Whatever it is, stand. Sometimes people even think even committing suicide is better. Let's just pray together. And please, let's avoid the moving around. Let's avoid the moving around. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you that you remain the same. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the faith that we have in Jesus. Thank you, Father, that by the Holy Spirit, our comforter, our help, we can stand any situation. We can stand because, Lord, we know that there is a fight. And the fight is for our faith. But you already triumphed. You triumphed over him by the cross. Father, we thank you. I want to pray, oh God, for any of us, Lord, in our midst, who is facing difficult times, who is facing hardships, I pray, dear Father, that they'll be able to stand, that they will not be sifted, Lord, that their faith will not fail, but that they will stand, and that your name, Lord, shall be glorified. May we glorify your name, Lord, as we stand, even before your coming, in Jesus' name. But I want to also address the other team. We can sit down. There could be those who do not know the Lord. For you, what I was talking about does not make sense. Because you've got nothing to defend. You are already in his territory. But, you know, God loves us so much. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you. Even as we go, Lord, in this week, Father, we pray that we'll live differently. We'll live as those, indeed, who are fighting over this faith, knowing that, indeed, there is the Holy Spirit who is our helper. May your name be blessed and may your name be glorified. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. Amen. Have a great week.